Did you know you could sponsor Nerd and Tie? That's right. For just $20, you could help us pay for better equipment that wouldn't have that happen. Right there, that thing that the people live in this room with us just witnessed, that happened. Stop that from happening. Donate $20. Just go to the website, nerdandtie.com. Look on the right-hand side on the regular site, at the bottom on the mobile, and click sponsor. It's awesome because, you know, we love you. On this episode of Nerd and Tie, we've got a... Live at GeekCon 2015, we've got a big convention announcement. Yvonne Craig has sadly passed away. A Hallmark ornament is in really bad taste. Fanforstic's production is only described in words I can't say and not get an explicit warning on this podcast. A spy drama based on Mythbusters is in development. And the Constantine Arrow crossover is going to happen. And Misha Collins had a bad day in Minneapolis. Probably because it was Minneapolis.
There are good days in Minneapolis.
Right?
All right, and welcome to Nerd and Tie.
Welcome.
Live.
We've jammed this room with 1,100 people.
So, yay. Okay, good. Okay, so good. Those
there,
of you at home...
There are 8 times more people than I expected.
So. Those of you at home may not be aware that... occasionally, things go wrong at the beginning of the show and we restart. This is the first time it's ever happened at a live show. And
didn't it happen at No Brand Con?
No, No Brand Con worked perfect. Well, okay, No Brand Con, the video crashed, but the show kept going.
Right.
If we lose the video source, I don't really care. If we lose the video source and the audio source, then
that's an issue.
Then that's an issue.
Bit of a problem, but we're back.
But we are back.
And as far as anybody knows, they didn't miss a thing.
No, well, because we hadn't actually gotten to the first story yet. But I'm Trey Dorn.
I'm Firsters.
And I'm Nick Izumi.
And, Nick is in cosplay because Nick doesn't know how to dress like normal people.
Not this weekend.
Oh, we're going to do a video after this show today, so this is going to be fun. All right, well, the first and big important thing...
This is big. This is huge.
...is we've been teasing this announcement for several episodes, and the people in the room have been seeing posters for this all weekend, but you at home...
Some people online have actually seen it, because some...
Some people online have seen it, because the bozo who wrote the post forgot that he scheduled it for Eastern time.
Well, no, it was
Central time.
Somebody posted the poster to Facebook on Friday. Somebody took a picture of it and put it online. Of one of the posters.
Talk directly into your mic so the people at home hear.
Yeah, no, somebody took a picture of one of the posters and put it online on Friday.
Neat.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah.
But the big announcement for those of you who are going, I only listen to the podcast, tell me what the heck's going on.
Stop teasing us. Let us know.
Because there are people who don't check our site and just update on their podcast feeds. Nerd and Tie is proud to announce the Nerd and Tie Expo. Mm. That's right. Nerd and Tie is starting a convention in Eau Claire, Wisconsin in September of 2016. So a year from now and a month. Year and a month from now.
Almost, yeah, exactly a year and a month because it starts on September 23rd.
Yeah.
23rd to the 25th.
Yeah, and it's August 23rd right now.
Yeah.
So
for those at home that don't have a calendar nearby.
Well, for those at home, like, there are people who listen to our podcast, like, during their work week, so they might not realize we would record
true.
On Sundays normally.
People listen to us at work. That's weird.
But
no, that's taste. They're good people.
But it's going to be held at the Plaza Hotel and Suites in Eau Claire, Wisconsin. We're really excited about it. We've assembled one of the best teams that we could get together out of veteran convention staffers who have worked at almost every convention in the state. We've got the co-founders of multiple cons working on this thing. We've got high-level and former high-level staffers from other conventions in the state working on this thing. World 9 Gaming is going to be running what we believe will be the new standard in video game rooms in the region, or the old standard, just as good. You know, whatever.
Right.
They run other rooms,
so
I'm not going to say that they run a better room at our show than the exact same guys run other shows, but they're going to run their great room at our show because they run the best rooms. And we are Otaku Tonight Productions is going to be running some panels
there. We're going to do some things.
We are talking with local geek podcasts in the region to do an exclusive panel track. We don't have any guests to announce yet because we don't have things locked down, but we have been talking with some people.
People have been approached and they're aware and they are looking to clear their calendars for it.
Yeah, so it's very, very exciting. It's going to be awesome. We are going to be launching a crowdfunding campaign in a couple weeks here to raise funds so we can do even more. Like, right now, everything we just told you we're doing all that, no matter what. And it's going to be an awesome convention. We want to make it bigger. So we are going to be launching a crowdfunding campaign to raise some, you know, more funds. So, you know, this doesn't all end up on my credit cards. Because I'm the only one with good employment on the stage. No.
Or credit.
Or credit. Mostly just the credit. But anyways, it's going to be awesome. So are the five of you excited?
It's going to be great. We're looking forward to it. The fact that we have a convention still going to be in Eau Claire, sort of that midway point between the cities and the southern part of Wisconsin.
Stay focused on the mic.
Is something that I think this scene needs and is vital to this scene, and we're going to keep providing that. I know I've personally been involved talking to the hotel and hotel staff. They're all incredibly excited to have a convention continuing in Eau Claire.
Yeah.
And
yeah, because No Brand Con just is moving to the Wisconsin Dells in April of 2016, and we broke that story.
You might remember us being asked about it and why we couldn't do anything about it
at the live show back in April, and for those of you who don't know our backgrounds, Nick is one of the co-founders of Daisho Con. Mm-hmm. Both Fern and I are former presidents of No Brand Con, and I'm a co-founder of No Brand Con. So we do conventions. It's what we do. We're doing some interesting things. First off, we're capping attendance at 1,000, which means that we are intentionally keeping this a smaller event. And the reason why is that a lot of our best experiences we've ever had at conventions have been at smaller events, convents less than 1,000. But the problem is often those events are run by new staffers, inexperienced staffers. And so those conventions, while a lot of fun, also have some problems. Well, what if we could get an experienced team who actually knows what they're doing, including a bunch of people who are super familiar with the facility, and get them together to run a convention? And we think we're going to provide, I think it's going to be like the best little con you've ever been to.
It's going to be a blast. We're going to really pull out all the stops to make sure that you, the con goer, has the best experience you've ever had at a convention.
Yeah. So it's, again, September 2016, September 23rd
through the 25th.
And we have flyers.
If you want to sign up for our mailing list, please do so.
Save the date.
Let people, like, I have friends who are going to get married that weekend, and they're going to move their wedding so they can come to this event.
Really?
Yeah. How nuts is that?
I wouldn't do that.
They just love us that much, I guess. But no, be on the lookout for our Kickstarter or crowdfunding.
Probably Indiegogo.
Indiegogo. Be on the lookout for our crowdfunding campaign we're going to be running. We're gonna be releasing a video very soon. Actually, we're going to film the video after we're done here.
Which means I will be in the video without a beard. Yes, people at home, this has not been commented on yet in the actual show going up. I do not have a beard right now. It's because I cosplayed yesterday with just my mustache. And while it's really great for a Bob Belcher cosplay, it is 2015. You can't walk around with a mustache and not look like a molester in your daily life.
I had one comment from an individual not at the convention that asked, is Trey trying to look like he's in a pirate porn?
Well, it's because I shaved the beard off the night before, so I was wearing my bandana still that I had like been wearing, which I don't look like a pirate when I have a full beard and I wear the bandana, okay. But I really look like a pirate, like a 1970s bad movie pirate, which today would translate to pornography, I guess. Apparently. So, yeah, that's what we're talking about with Nerd and Tie Expo. It's super exciting. Go to expo.nerdandtie.com for more information, because
we're going to probably have a new update every single fortnight up to the point of the actual show.
Yes. And, yeah, it's going to be super awesome.
Be there or be dead to me.
To be fair, actually, you might be dead to him if you're there also. It's not a guarantee.
Necessarily mutually exclusive.
You've got a whole year to die to Nick, so.
All right. Sadly, we have to move away from exciting
news. We do have to move away from exciting things, and we do have to move on to some sad news.
Because the people who downloaded this podcast are expecting the normal show, and not just this congratulatory...
Shilling.
Yeah.
Well, which we're going to do a lot of soon. But we do have some sad news to announce. Yvonne Craig, best known to our listeners as the actress that played Batwoman on Batgirl on the 1960s classic Batman television series, has sadly passed away at the age of 78 in her, I believe it was in her home.
Yeah, in her home, Pacific Palisades, California. Yep. She had a long struggle with breast cancer over the last 2 years. It's very sad. I mean, she also famously also played an Orion slave girl in an episode of the original Star Trek. The one who tried to kill Kirk, not the one who danced in front of Pike. It's that one with that really was the 1960s attempt to deal with mental health issues.
Oh, right.
In a very 1960s way.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
As the 60s are oft wont to do. But, Yvonne Craig passed away age of 78.
We're
losing a lot of people this year.
Well, okay, and so this is the significant thing about the Yvonne Craig Batgirl, is that what a lot of people don't realize is that the Barbara Gordon Batgirl was created for the show.
I'd say she was the original Barbara Gordon.
Yeah, she is the original Barbara Gordon. It's so there was a Batgirl, because for those of you who know that they introduced in the early 60s a Batwoman and Batgirl into the comics as kind of a mirror of Batman and Robin, only really incompetent and really sexist and terrible, and so they like whisked them off, and then the TV show decided it wanted to boost its ratings. So they wanted to introduce a female superhero, and so they brought in Yvonne. They went to DC, and they said, we want to, you know, create a Batgirl, effectively. And so Batgirl, Barbara Gordon Batgirl, was created for the 1960s TV show. And then she was at the same time incorporated into the comics as, you know, cross-promotion, sell some books, Batgirl was created to be Yvonne Craig. Gail Simone often talked about how the Yvonne Craig Batgirl influenced the way she wrote Batgirl as an adult when she took over the comics. And she instructed the artists to the way that the fighting style that Batgirl would fight out would be based off of a ballet dancer, because that's what Yvonne Craig was, and her fighting in the 60s show was based off that. So, like, when we talk about Yvonne Craig, we're really talking about the whole reason that the Barbara Gordon Batgirl exists. So, a little bit of a big deal.
Yeah, definitely a pioneer to the geek world with her influence and how really comics are today. A major character in comics is.
Yeah.
And she really played the part really well.
Oh, she rocked
it. Batman was such a funny show, and she was an asset to the series.
That Nick, that's what I was trying to... I'm secretly trying to signal to Nick that he should talk into the microphone more, but Nick doesn't understand what any gestures referring to microphones are. As I yesterday tried to signal him across the room to check the switch on Matt Greenfield's microphone.
Which
and
I had spent 2 minutes before the interview doing, so I wasn't going to do it again.
Right, but I... Right, but you just were like pointing again and like waving your arm, like you like, what are you doing? What? For like 5 minutes.
It was perfect.
So, yeah, it's Nick. Why don't you move us on to our next?
Yeah, let's go on to some happier stories.
This isn't really happier. This is more just about people dying, sort of.
Death. We woke you up early on a Sunday morning to talk about death.
So a few fortnights ago, you guys might remember, we talked about and remembered Leonard Nimoy, who passed away earlier this year. Mr. Spock, great actor, great character. Well, Hallmark has released their dream book, where they release all of their ornaments. And there's always a lot of geeky ornaments in the Hallmark thing, so I always want to look at it, see what they put out. There's always a lot of Star Trek and Star Wars. And one of the ornaments for this holiday season is in the worst taste possible. Everyone remember that scene in Wrath of Khan when Spock is dying in the radiation chamber and Kirk is there with him and they give those...
I am and have always been your friend.
How would you like to have that on your Christmas tree? How would you like to have that just a few months after Leonard Nimoy died? Well, you can get that from Hallmark for $30. And bonus, it's not just dying Spock. You push the little button on it, and it's talking dying Spock.
It's amazing.
It is the most too soon ornament I've never seen a Christmas ornament in such terrible taste.
It's like
in my entire life.
Well, maybe the 9/11 ornaments.
Oh God.
That's how far you have to go to get worse, right? Like, okay, I want something worse. Like, I mean, maybe someone made a Hitler ornament. I don't know.
It's just so astounding.
Somewhere there's the internet now.
Like, I've had people say, well, they probably sculpted it a long time ago, and I can accept that, but maybe you shouldn't you could keep it in reserve and not release it just a couple months after he died. Just an idea.
Maybe delay it a year.
Yeah.
I'd probably buy it. I'm probably still going to buy it, because that sounds cool to have, but, like, I'm not going to be happy about it.
You're a terrible person.
Well,
you're a terrible, terrible, awful person. Let me tell you, this man is a terrible, terrible, awful person.
Why am I terrible, terrible, awful? Or do we have a...
No, that was the whole thing.
There's nothing beyond that.
It's just a fact.
Although, actually, now that you've said that, speaking of terrible, terrible, awful people...
Oh, what do you know? There is a segue.
Josh Trank.
Oh, dear.
The director of Fanforstic. I know it's supposed to be Fantastic Four.
I don't.
But as Nick has pointed out repeatedly, they spelled it Fanforstic. Now, we on our last episode, pretty much, I panned Fantastic Four. I told you don't see it. Because I saw it. Because if you ever see the movie, there's a potential for like three different good movies in that film they didn't make. Like, they start three different movies that could have been good and then end it with something that just kind of threw together.
Well, Duct Tape Boy's there.
Yeah, Duct Tape Boy. Okay, so...
Light up Duct Tape Boy.
The Doctor Doom in the new Fantastic Four remarkably looks like No Brand Con mascot Duct Tape Boy. To a degree that I cannot begin to describe. It is amazing. It is a thing that has happened and is happening to all of us. But so my opinion of the Fantastic Four movie is not that I can deal with deviating from the origin drastically and making Johnny Storm the oldest Fantastic Four member if you make it a good movie. But there were three different good movies they could have made out of that thing, and they didn't finish any of them. And just said, hey, we'll throw Doom on the ending, and there's a movie. With a Stargate in the air. So, but anyways, apparently, one of the reasons why the film might have ended up so terrible is because production was a massive cluster, well...
Lay-pluster clock.
A cluster four-stick, and... Josh Trank apparently was weirdly demanding on set. He would go under a black tent of cloth and demand, like, he would demand when actors would breathe and when they would blink during a scene to try to, like, and it got so bad that his weird demands and, like, all this weird stuff that Fox took the production out of his hands to try to save the movie. Now, this has happened plenty of times with other films that turned out not to be terrible. I wouldn't say World War Z is the greatest piece of cinema I've ever seen, but it's a film that has a beginning, middle, and end. You know,
I understand that Fox didn't really know what they wanted either, though, because they were just
okay,
like...
Okay, so here's the thing. This movie got made just for the sole purpose of them hanging on to the property.
Yeah.
I mean, that's it. Like, that was boom.
Right, but they were like, the Chronicle... we'll hand it to the Chronicle guy. And if they'd given the Chronicle guy $20 million to make a movie, it might have been good. But they gave him $120
million, and it only made $20 million
back opening weekend. They gave him $120 million to make a movie, and... He just, honestly, according to most people close to production, was completely lost as to what he was doing. And then the studio took it away, and for all the reshoots, he was physically present to meet Directors Guild rules, but they wouldn't let him actually make any decisions, which is why there are hasty reshoots with Sue Storm in a really bad blonde wig, because her hair no longer looks like that for the movie, and Domachev got turned back to Von Doom, and they made sure they showed you a really close-up shot of the piece of paper with Von Doom written on it. But it, we're talking about a film that literally had lines like, well, Dr. Doom over here. Well, that's literally his name, right? If the guy is working on a doctorate, I mean, he's not Dr. Doom yet, but he's going to at least be Dr. Von Doom.
He's undergrad Doom. At
undergrad.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, why is she calling him doctor in that scene? Because it's not like she's talking about him like he's supposed to be smart. And just remember when Ben Grimm's older abusive brother would say it's clobbering time before he beat Ben Grimm.
That happened.
That's the thing that happened. So apparently all the behind the scenes was just a complete mess and one of the worst productions any of the cast and crew have ever worked on. So if you're wondering, how did this turn out to be like three incomplete movies that were never really fully developed, it's because no one really finished what they were doing.
No one had any idea what they were doing.
Well, unless you ask Josh Trank on his Twitter, who was like, I was going to make an amazing movie. They took it away from me.
Yeah, yeah. And also, there's like, apparently now that's like, now that stuff's come out from the set, there's like lawsuits and like all this other stuff. People are
suing. And he destroyed a house that he was staying
in. Oh, yeah.
In.
I forgot about that. He rented a house on the production and he caused $100,000 of damage to the house. And when the landlord who owned the place complained, he found family photos of the landlord that were left in the house and defaced them.
Oh, my God.
Like, cut up the guy's family photos. When the landlord, whose house had like $100,000 of damage to it, dared complain.
You know, he has a lot in common with the protagonist from Chronicle.
It's almost like he made that movie.
Yeah.
Oh.
I'm going to give all the credit to Max Landis at this point.
Man. We should move on.
Let's move on to a story that is probably, you like things that are bonkers and out there. And
let's talk about something, you know, we talked about insane, but let's talk about something insane that makes us laugh or at least smile a little, not something insane that makes us weep inherently deep within our souls, our black, black souls.
So if you've ever seen Mythbusters and thought, wow, all that special effects work and all that science is really cool, but I'd sure like it as a spy drama.
I love FX.
I love
FX is a great movie, and FX2 and FX the series.
Yes, but if you've ever thought, wow, I'd really like that crammed into a spy drama, you're in luck because CBS is developing a television show based around Mythbusters, and it's a spy drama.
Hooray.
Yes, the untitled drama revolves around two Hollywood special effects artists who are recruited by the CIA to complete seemingly impossible covert ops missions by creatively using the most basic tools from their craft. I was going to say, I liked this show when it was MacGyver, so I might like it now.
Yeah, FX is what I went with because it's literally about a special effects guy who, like, well, the series, he solves crimes, but it's like, it's this, like, espionage movie where he's, like, using special effects.
So it's going to be, like, a remake of that, but with Mythbusters on.
Well, I guess it's kind of like FX meets a little bit more of, like, first season Chuck. Not the intersect part, but, like, average guy on spy missions.
Oh, okay.
And then, so, like, the idea, and then, like, Jamie Hyneman and Adam Savage are going to consult on the show and make sure all the stuff that
can't
the guys
they, can't
do
they
is
star
right.
in it? I would love
no.
to watch a show with them starring in it.
Have you seen the sketches they do on the show? Those two cannot act. Let them hire real actors to do things.
No, I just want it to be actually them. I don't want it to be characters. I want it to be them. Actors playing them. Sign me up.
Yeah,
I'd watch
so,
that.
So it's like it's a headline that makes you go, am I having a stroke? Is this what a stroke feels like? But when you actually break it down, it's not an awful idea that these are guys who, you know, with, you know, because with special effects skills, trying to work espionage sounds kind of silly. But then you think about the fact that makeup effects are actually common spycraft.
Yep.
and, you know, other stuff where it's just like, as long as it's not serious.
I was about to say, what it's reminding me of are those weird 80s tie-in cartoons that you would get where it was like, the adventures of some actor. Hey, look, it's Mr. T and the kids.
Or the Hulk Hogan show.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I want that, but with... Actually, can we get animated series about Jamie and...
Or when Sergeant Slaughter became a character on G.I. Joe.
Yes. I remember this.
These are all things that are real. The 80s were a very strange time.
And Chuck Norris Karate Commandos.
Oh my god, I forgot about Chuck Norris Karate
Commandos. I will
Commandos.
Never forget Chuck Norris Karate Commandos.
Do you remember the Toxic Crusaders?
Yes, I do.
When for those of you who don't know that the Toxic Crusaders, like, so they let's take all of the trauma characters and make a kid's show out of it.
Uh-huh. It's just as quality entertainment
as it
sounds.
Let's take the Toxic Avenger and make him a kid's cartoon.
Well, you know, they did that animated RoboCop show, and the opening was him going around the corner and then getting shot.
Yeah.
Like, that was really the opening of every show. It was the animated version of that scene in the movie where he gets shot a zillion times, so...
To be fair, he gets back up.
Oh, yeah.
As a robot.
He walks it off.
And a cop.
A robot cop.
That's our new show.
I'd buy that for a dollar.
Only he's a special effects expert. No, wait. No. We need something we can consult on. A podcaster.
A
robot cop with a podcast. Robopod. That sounds really uncomfortable.
I don't think I'd buy that for a dollar, actually.
I'd star in it for a dollar. Pay me a dollar, I'll star in it.
All right. Speaking of TV shows, that would make me happy. So, all hope was lost. I had given up on the TV show Constantine. Actors' contracts were expired. Writers' contracts were expired. NBC had destroyed yet another TV show. It all seemed to be over. Then suddenly, the cast of Arrow, well, Mark Guggenheim, the producer on Arrow, suddenly makes an announcement, oh yeah, we got that Constantine crossover happening.
Yeah, that rumored crossover that Steve Amell was pushing for and like 20 other people. That's right. Matt Ryan is going to play Constantine in Arrow. And it's canonical to the Constantine TV series.
Uh-huh.
Which means everything we watched in the Constantine TV series is happening in the same universe as The Flash.
Oh.
Think about this for a minute. The Rising Darkness is happening somewhere in, well, I'm going to say in Keystone City.
It's happening. All the while Barry Allen was having whimsical adventures and Oliver Queen was fighting Ra's al Ghul for some
reason.
Well,
you know, it's the thing, though. It's like every major city in, like, the Constantine show has something bad happening, which means literally this crap is happening right underneath the Flash's feet.
He was worried. He was running from his past, Trey.
He ran into his past.
That's true.
Yeah, this is also true.
I think it's incredible that DC is able at least able to do their television universe.
Well, there's the thing. So long as it's one on television and two, no one breaks through being a B-list character, we're gonna be fine,
right?
It's. I mean, The Flash is as close to an A-lister as we have in these shows. Everyone else is like, you know, the Atom and Green Arrow, you know.
Yeah.
Your secondary Justice League, not your first call.
Yeah, it's actually kind of amazing they got The Flash.
It really is.
Yeah, it really, it's astounding. I mean, God knows they still want to do that Ezra Miller movie, so the movies will find a way to screw this up. But still, for right now...
Well, I think it also shows the strength of a guy like Stephen Amell, who I think literally could have anything he wants at this point from the CW.
Amell was pushing so hard for it. And, like, it was on his Facebook. He wouldn't stop talking about it. And then, of course, as soon as it was announced, he takes to Twitter, like, can't wait to fight crime with John Constantine, you know.
Yeah.
He's astounding.
And I mean, he can literally say anything and it happens. I mean, he literally just showed up at a wrestling match and said, "Hey, can I make a match? I want to be involved in this." And they said, "Sure, Stephen Amell, why not?"
Well, it's, you know, and we know a few things about Constantine's appearance on Arrow. Light spoilers, but if you've seen the trailer to Legends of Tomorrow, you know one of the spoilers is that Sarah Lance is going to be brought back from the dead.
This time as White Canary.
Which is a very different character in the comics, but we're going to be okay with that because it's a name. And honest to God, no one knows who White Canary is.
Arrow's kind of played fast and loose with these characters anyway.
Yeah. But at least they're pronouncing Ra's al Ghul right now.
And they have an explanation for it, too.
And they found an explanation.
They found a way to shoehorn that in.
Constantine is going to be playing the role that he originally played in the comics, which we have something magic happen and someone needs to explain it. Better have a wizard do it.
So he's going to be involved in the resurrection of Katie Lotz's Sarah Lance. We know that the episode is going to be titled Haunted. We know it's going to be the fifth episode in the season. Now, since Arrow's going to come back with two-episode premiere day, it means it's going to be the fourth week of the season. And so John Constantine is, pretty much there's a problem. We need a wizard. And, oh, look, because NBC canceled the show, the rights are more up in the air. Because, you know, if Constantine had gotten renewed, this crossover would not be happening because they'd be separate networks. So it's sad to see the Constantine show go, because I know you guys are harsh on Grimm. I like Grimm. But
I'm still shocked to always find out that it's still happening, honestly.
Well, they did a dumb plot this season that... Okay, so I'm really disappointed with the writers of both Grimm and the very different show Sleepy Hollow for the way they have dealt with redheads.
This is modern nerd culture. Redheads don't get treated well anywhere.
Well, because
mostly they get
done,
sterilized or killed.
They've done some really stupid stuff with the Juliet character on Grimm this last year that it's a pretty far stretch to make it work. And also on Sleepy Hollow, they were like, we really need to get rid of this character, so let's just make him turn evil for no good reason. It just happens. The Juliet character on Grimm turned evil. Because it's fun to make the redheaded character turn evil for no real good plot reason. And the only reason why Grimm was still... Sleepy Hollow did not handle any of it well. Grimm at least handled all the other characters' reactions to it well, so... But I'm very disappointed in television writers when they don't know what to do and they go, let's make the girlfriend evil.
I just love that this is like the tradition with Constantine now, is how does he come into a story? His original appearance in Saga of the Swamp Thing was Alan Moore wanted the book to be magic and he wanted a wizard to explain it.
Yeah.
That was it.
Wizard.
He's like, just draw a wizard who looks like Sting. This is great.
So, Constantine is going to be on Arrow, and it's
awesome,
to be glorious.
Well, I'm very excited about it.
It should be a good time.
It should be a good time. It's not the you know what's really funny though is we were talking about DC television earlier, and it's not on the rundown, but I wanted to bring this up. NBC is developing an office comedy based in the DC universe, and I'm hearing very different reports. Some of the reports I'm hearing make it good. It's make it sound like it's going to be good. Some of the reports I'm hearing make it sound like it's a terrible idea and everyone involved needs to be lit on fire. So for those of you who don't know, NBC is trying to develop a comedy series set in the DC universe.
And it's going to be a office-style mockumentary.
An office comedy set in the DC universe. We don't know if it's going to be... Okay. But it's going to be set in an insurance company in the DC universe. Now,
comedy goldmine right there.
If there are no insurance superheroes in the actual show, I think it could be great. Just an insurance company with like a whole bunch of regular people like having to pay out claims on Man of Steel. Obviously, it won't be exactly Man of Steel, but think about Man of Steel and think about, like, all of the, like, because all of those buildings were insured.
I may have lost my tower, but I got me a new Robin.
So that's like, now, some of the rumors I've heard have talked about, like, oh, we're going to have, like, you know, like, some other, like, low-level heroes on the show who are jealous and, like, super, but this is all speculation from what I've been able to, like, source out by going, like, to the original sources of the rumors, and hopefully that's just some stupid writer's pipe dream, because the last time DC tried to make a pilot that was a comedy with superheroes actually in it, it was the Justice League a pilot from the 90s that you can find it on the internet. It's got the guy who played Winchester on MASH in it as the Martian Manhunter.
It's also got Chunky Flash, Chunky the Atom. It's got Guy Gardner wearing a three-piece suit and playing piano.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Guy Gardner doesn't really look like Guy Gardner.
Nope.
He looks like either Kyle or Hal. He doesn't look like Guy. But
he's kind of wearing Guy's vest thing, and that's about it.
Yeah. And but, like, the Flash is really helpful around the house because it cleans up the dishes fast. Because the Flash got kicked out of his apartment.
Also, they seem to have secret identities, but they keep cutting to interviews with them that says their real name and then their superhero name underneath, so it's not very consistent either.
It's
watch
awful.
It, please.
It's awful. It is awful. It's on Daily Motion. Maybe we'll post it to the site on Thursday for Throwback Thursday. It is so terrible. So when I hear DC superhero universe comedy, that's the immediate thing that pops up into my head, and it terrifies me on levels that I cannot.
This is the DC universe. You're not allowed fun.
Or no fun ever.
Are they? Because Flash.
Flash.
No, that's true.
Flash. You know, and Constantine was dark, but it was Constantine was fun. Because Matt Ryan was funny.
Zoom.
Matt Ryan's good.
Zoom. We all love Matt Ryan. Nick has a big poster of Matt Ryan over his bed.
I get both Matt Ryan and Stephen Amell in the same show. I'm going to be really happy.
Glad
that's
you're
all
sitting
I'm
down,
saying.
Nick. You know who's not, like, having a really happy time, though?
Yeah, no, it's
probably having a not-so-great time right now at the Supernatural Convention in Minneapolis.
Misha Collins had a rough day yesterday. Misha Collins, Castiel on Supernatural. He was attending. He is, well, right now at this moment, still at the Supernatural Convention in the Twin Cities. And I think it's actually in Minneapolis, but, you know, specifically.
Yeah.
There is a Just Supernatural Convention.
Yeah.
And
it's got, like, pretty much every single cast member there this week.
Yeah, it's Creation Entertainment. It's Creation Entertainment doing a Supernatural Convention. Just like Creation Entertainment does other stuff.
Yep.
It's, you know, those cons that you pay way too much money for to go spend 5 minutes looking at the star and pay for your, you know, whatever money for a photo. And then
pay more money for the actor to sign that photo.
And maybe you get a handshake.
And then pay more money to be able to leave the room and pay more money to use the bathroom.
And pay money to be allowed to actually... Yeah, no, the handshake is extra money, dude.
Oh, that's right. That's... Yeah. Anyways.
And let me tell you, though, like, you can pay for anything. No, Misha Collins had to cancel a panel yesterday at the convention because Misha Collins, according to reports, now we haven't gotten anything official from his people, but the word is that Misha got mugged in Minneapolis yesterday.
Yup.
He is uninjured. He only got some minor scrapes. He has come out and said, everybody, I'm fine, and has returned to the convention. But this is what happens when you go to Minnesota.
This is actually news to me. I did not hear about this until just now.
Well, I heard about this yesterday when Otaku Tonight Productions producer Amy Quinlan said, this is big. And I'm like, what's up, Q? She goes, Misha Collins got mugged in Minneapolis like 2 hours ago. During the day.
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 Near the convention center.
By the convention center.
I'm like, you know, I'm proud to say that in all my years of convention running, none of my guests ever got mugged. One guest did leave another guest somewhere, but that's the, the guest's fault.
I was going to say, one of your guests got stranded.
A knife has never been pulled, and I'm like, well, that's never...
But our guest relations had stayed with the stranded guest.
Oh, that's good. That's good.
So, there are people
That's a bad con experience. That's just...
Oh, poor Wendy.
Poor Misha.
Poor Misha, yes, poor Misha. But I'm still talking about Misha Collins, yes. So yeah, no, it's that's unfortunate in
a rough time.
You know, other things this is how you avoid getting mugged while attending or being a guest at a convention in Minnesota. Don't go. No, I am kidding. I have been to conventions in Minnesota. It's been a while. I'm sure they're still good in there. Somewhere.
I've never been to a Minnesota con. Not even once.
I've been to MarsCon repeatedly.
Yeah, MarsCon's a good
MarsCon's
time.
MarsCon's fun.
Nope. Fusion never been
was,
there.
Fusion was always fun.
I mean, if you're
fun.
Okay with getting hit on by a drunk Klingon.
Which I'm always very okay with.
A
drunk Klingon, older than your mother.
Again, very okay with that. I don't know what you're talking about.
Who's getting handsy.
Okay, I don't need that image anymore.
I pushed Peso in front of me and ran.
That poor soul.
It explains a lot about Peso, actually.
No, it's just that
that was Peso's the moment the universe is split.
Peso's not afraid to be rude. I'm afraid to be rude.
Which is weird.
Well, okay, I'm afraid to be as rude as Peso is.
I was about to say, I'm not so sure about that statement.
Oh, man.
All right, so we have now reached now that we are 40 minutes into the show, we have reached the point in the show where we start looking for words and things from you guys.
But we do have mailbag.
Right, which is why, you see, those are words and things, from those guys.
Which, I've got to let, like, should we read this one first, or do we want to check the...
I'm going to have a pile of spam in my inbox right now. So.
Well, this letter, it says, Tuscany meaty marinara, large pepperoni pizza. Oh, wait, no, there's more. Inside.
That was my dinner last night.
This letter says, Dear Nerd and Ty Live, I'm writing this on the same sheet as our dinner order last night. Woo, con life. Here's a couple questions for the live show. What cosplay did you do this weekend?
I did Bob Belcher from Bob's Burgers, which is why I no longer have a beard. And I will be growing my beard back as fast as possible because I haven't been clean shaven since before I gained all the weight, and I don't like my fat face. So I got to grow a beard back to hide it.
Nick?
Yesterday I was Raku Ichijo from Nisei Koi. And then today I'm kind of halfway Kyosuke Date from The Soul Taker. So those are both directed by the anime.
Not the
Joe Estevez classic, sir.
Is anything with Joe Estevez in it possibly ever considered classic?
I love
it. It won a Saturn Award, that movie. It's an award-winning
An award for had an ending? I mean, like...
What else was out that year that was so bad that made Soul Taker look good?
I don't know, but...
We'd like to give a Saturn Award to most legible credits to the Soul Taker. There we...
So, I did not cosplay this weekend. I didn't have time / didn't really prep for it, so... What cosplay did you enjoy seeing at the convention? You know, I saw one yesterday that was really cool. It was from that episode of Ed, Edd n Eddy where they're trying to be up on the trends. So they're wearing, like, the train and the mailbox and stuff. Somebody was walking around dressed like that. It was amazing.
Nice.
I loved it.
That's a good question. Go to Nick first.
I saw some really creative and fun stuff, but the real highlight for me yesterday was I ran into two people from Galaxy Quest. Like, there was one Thermian and one person just wearing the protector uniform.
Yeah.
And look, it was like, that is the coolest thing.
There were two of them wearing protector uniforms.
Oh, okay. I only saw one.
So I'm gonna go with that, too, yeah, because there was there was a guy and there was a woman wearing protector uniforms, and then there was the Thermian.
I also saw somebody dressed as a Spaceballs
soldier. Oh, I saw that, too. That was awesome. That, too. That was great.
Actually, listens to our show. That was one of our...
Why isn't he here?
I don't know. I think he was only in town for the day.
This is like the worst time slot.
It really is. We're so thankful you've all stuck
really
with us.
I'm really thankful
you
guys showed up here because, honest to God, I wouldn't be here if I were you.
They're out. What color are your ties?
We're all rocking red. Actually.
Red.
Yeah, yeah. We've got
Vegas red,
maroon red.
Thanks for the cookies, Arkhamize.
He's going to the MV contest.
We were going to let him get on a microphone, but now he left.
Hope you enjoy the cookies. Have a great rest of the con. Arkhamize. P.S. Immediately following Nerd and Ty, you should go to the AMV GMV contest to see awesome music videos set to your favorite anime.
No, because I have to work in the dealer room.
I got to get my room cleaned out and checked out.
And we've got to shoot a video, too.
We got to shoot a video. Yep. So.
That Arkhamize could have been in.
Yeah. So we don't
have any. He has a an entry in the contest, so he's.
But he could have been in the video. I don't care. I don't care if he's got some contest. He thinks that's more important than me.
So
that he is allowed to have priorities.
Before we go to open mic, do we want to do the Vomit Hat Steve challenge?
I'd like to. I'm trying to get the list up to do it. So for those of you who don't know what the Vomit Hat Steve Challenge is, we always do it right after the mailbag, is that every regular episode, I read a line out of a book, and our challenge to you, the listener, is to guess what book it's from. If you know what book it's from, you write in on the site. If you guess the book correctly, you get included in the Hall of Awesome. The benefits of the Hall of Awesome are as follows. One, we read your name aloud every episode. Two, you get listed on the website in our Hall of Awesome. Three, you don't get anything else. That's like, we're really poor. We're literally asking you to sponsor the show every episode.
You're lucky you even get that, honestly.
All right, so the current
members. What more do you want?
The current members of the Hall of Awesome are as follows: Arkhamize Zero, Rene Innocenti, Cheesy McDamu, Krista Slithery D, Shameless Otaku, The Random Ramblings Man, Core Fan, Capito, Chris Graham, Lily Soros, Paper Godzilla, and Cavsey. You guys can clap for that.
Thank you, five people.
Clap harder.
And two of them are in the Hall of Awesome already.
Yes, it's true.
So we're continuing on the same book that I used last time because no one's guessed it yet. And I don't expect anybody to, but here's your sentence of the book. Alfred Nobel, the Swedish chemist and industrialist, was born in Stockholm in 1833. If you know what book that's from, go to nerdandtie.com and click on the contact form. Tell us what you think, who wrote it, what the name of the book is. Or just give us your other thoughts. We'll read them out loud. We'll answer your questions. We'll make fun of Nick if you write really clever insults about him.
Please don't.
Yeah, and so that is very important. Now we get to the point in the show that we always do every live episode. We like to do this thing where we respond to you.
People. Whoa, I'm cutting this off at the pass. I am not, nor have I ever been, a GeekCon staffer.
You see, okay. That got no laughs because that's an inside joke in reference to our No Brand Con live episode in which we answered a bunch of questions about the No Brand Con move that really should have been directed towards people actually working there.
We had nothing to do
with that. And
we
kept being addressed as if we were staff of No Brand Con. Because two of us are former staff, and we broke the move story. So
I have never worked for No Brand Con.
So if you have any questions, feel free to come
up. Or if you'd like to talk about the Nerd and Tie Expo more, which we're always happy to know about that. We have this microphone, and I'm going to make one of you talk if I have to, because I've got 10 minutes to fill.
Probably a little less if we're going to film the thing.
Well, yeah. But, yeah. So, come on, Shameless Otaku. Come up here.
Get up here, bud.
Get up here, bud.
Do it.
Do it.
Do it.
Do it.
Take your Jedi weapon and strike him down.
Do it. Do it. Say hi to the folks at home.
Why, hello.
So, what's your question, Shameless Otaku? You're on camera.
Oh, God. Oh, God. What's your favorite episode of Robotech?
That one where they dress up the my brain's blanking. What are the
Valkyrie?
Valkyrie. Thank you, Valkyrie. In the lab coat to sneak in to the alien facility, and ends are distracted watching Minmay on the TV, and then it's got to go into Gerwalk mode in the elevator, and it goes down the hallway. Like, with the chest.
I think that's the only episode you've seen. I'm 90% certain that's
the only episode. No, so I watched a whole bunch of Robotech as a kid, but that's the only one I rewatched as, like, a teenager trying to remember. And so that's literally the only episode whose details I remember.
That sounds like an episode of that new FX show.
My favorite episode is the...
But they just put the thing in a lab coat. Like, that's the disguise for the robot.
They put a hat on it, too.
A hat and a lab coat.
They put a hat on it,
because
too.
Because that's going to work.
I watched that more recently. Anyway, you know, two of the three shows that make up Robotech have good episodes. So I'm going to mention the only actually Robotech episode. The first episode of season 2, where they awkwardly cut footage from Macross together with footage from Southern Cross, and they're like, this character is totally these other two characters' kid. Look, even though the baby has completely different hair and doesn't look even similar to this grown woman, it's the same person. You just gotta roll with it. It's pretty much the greatest hack job that no one should have ever been paid for.
I am wearing my Soldiers of the Sun shirt.
Oh, that's true.
My favorite episode is when they're having the telethon for Good Morning San Francisco, and none of the bands show up. So Stephanie has to sing and entertain, and they make the.
The funny thing is, you're describing a Macross 7 episode.
And they bring the twins out, and Kimmy Gibbler shows up, and they're like, Kimmy, get out of here. Oh, it was so good.
So what's episode. Kimmy Gibbler? Who's Kimmy Gibbler in the Macross version?
I don't
well, no,
Dr. Chiba.
Okay, there we
all
go.
All right, yeah, that works.
That's the answer is, for all of you Full House fans who want to get into Macross, Dr. Chiba is your Kimmy Gibbler.
Wait, no, I amend that comment. My favorite episode is Robotech 2, The Sentinels, the pilot movie that they made for the series that never got any funding.
They made an actual pilot for that?
They made the funding. They actually got the funding from the companies, from some Japanese toy companies. But then when the economic bubble burst, no one was willing to fund any more episodes. So Carl Masek took what was like 2.5 episodes of footage and then grabbed some footage from Mospita and edited it together into a pilot episode that is borderline unwatchable.
That's amazing.
I have it on DVD.
We need to show that at the expo.
We really should. I'm not even
That's
kidding.
Amazing.
What's really great was that they wanted the Macross characters to be in it, but it was the same time when Big West was making Macross Do You Remember Love, and they were like, we don't want the animators or any of the fans to think this is from the Macross movie, so you can't have the Macross characters in your show look anything like the actual Macross characters they're supposed to be. So apparently getting 5 to 10 years older, I don't remember the leap, makes you look nothing like you did in the previous show.
Well, to be
it's
fair,
amazing.
Have you seen photos of me from like 5 years ago?
Okay, that's fair, but still, good God, no, we should run it. We should run it. The only good, there's only one good thing and in the entire series, and that is if you ever wanted to see the bad guys from Southern Cross have a throwdown with the bad guys from Mospita, you can finally see that. I don't know why you would want that, because no one watched Southern Cross or Mospita, but you can see them fight each other.
I kind of want to see them
fight. It's pretty great.
Let them fight.
Let them fight.
That's actually all the questions we can take, because we gotta film our thing.
Well, I mean, I guess we can end it there. We've got enough time to take one more if anybody else has a... We've filled enough of the episode where we can publish this without feeling like we have gone short. But we still have a little bit of time. Cheesy, you have anything you'd like to say? Cheesy? You have to come up here and say it to the microphone.
Just do it. Right there.
Do it.
And if you stand a little closer, you can be on camera.
It's not a question, but if it'll make Nick feel better, I can match your score post Sandrock for spotting robot crotches at Otaku Tonight last night.
Yes!
That was the best thing we've ever done.
Yeah, so
that was the most disturbing and terrible thing I've ever done.
So did you guys record that at all?
I believe Arkhamize has it on film, and I think Raina was recording it also.
Good, because I really, really, really want to watch Nick identify crotch. So Nick didn't have any idea what was going on.
No one showed me what they were doing before.
So the home listeners, last night on Otaku Tonight with Professor Fur, Nick Izumi was shown photos of robot crotches and had to identify what robot, well, ostensibly Gundam crotches.
It was all Gundam, and then we decided to throw
Optimus Prime and Valvrave were in there, too.
I loved your reaction when we flipped it over, and it was Optimus Prime. You looked at me like, wait, that's not a Gundam, that's Optimus Prime.
It was in my eyes.
But Nick was unaware of what crotches they were going to show him, which is kind of normal for like a Nick on a Saturday night, really, when you think about it. He's usually not sure what crotch he's going to see. Usually it's his own. I don't know why that's really a sad thing. I mean, I would love to still be able to see my crotch. It's...
womp womp.
Womp womp. All right.
Let's take it home.
That got weird.
I apologize to everyone in this room, all the home viewers and all the home listeners, since there are all three. But I don't apologize to Nick or Fur.
I don't have to take your
apology. I apologize to all the home listeners.
You can take your apology and you can shove it right up your...
I apologize to all the home listeners who had to think about my crotch. Yeah.
Shove it up your... Yeah.
All right, so... I am Trey Dorn.
I am Firsters.
And I'm Nick Izumi.
And we have been and will always be Nerd and Tie. Remember to subscribe to us on iTunes, on Stitcher. Rate and review us on those stores because, you know, it makes us happy. Subscribe to us on YouTube if you feel like it. And sponsor us because we'll be your best friend forever. And come to the Nerd and Tie Expo at
expo.nerdandtie.com.
Check it out.
Keep an eye out for the crowd fund. It's going to be good. Limited seats for 100 years.
Let Nick say his catchphrase.
Take us away, Nick.
Keep on spocking in the free world.
Dance party.
Have a wonderful rest of your GeekCon.